I want to share with you from the Word of God three verses of Scripture from this chapter, 1 Samuel 16, 11, 12, and 13. Samuel was commissioned of the Lord to go and anoint a king, which was somewhat odd because there already was a king. His name was Saul. But Samuel was given this commission, and he went forth to fulfill it. Beginning at verse 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" See, he had already seen seven of Jesse's sons, and none of them were to be anointed king. And so he's inquiring, "Do you have any more?" And he said, Jesse said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. He's a fine-looking young man. And emphasize that word young. It didn't seem like he would be the one. And the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." This is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Can you imagine what was going through Samuel's mind, Jesse's heart, those seven brothers? And the Lord declared, "This is he." Praise God. Not who they thought, but the Lord said, "This is he." You may be seated. Saul, being anointed king, was perhaps an expected thing, because Saul was a head taller than everybody else. He stood out. He had leadership material. He looked like he would be the one that God could use to do a great work. Unfortunately, the beginning was not like the ending. For Saul failed. Now, one failure, the saying is, failure is not fatal. Failure is not final. Praise God. The Lord helps us to get up. He's with us. You are not alone. Amen. Great is his faithfulness. Praise the Lord. But Saul continued to fail. In one instance, he offered sacrifice without Samuel. He waited for Samuel. He waited diligently for 7 days. A whole week went by as he's waiting for Samuel to come and offer sacrifice. The people were beginning to become restless. Saul recognized he needed to seize the moment, even though it would have been in disobedience to the plan of God, the work of God, because he needed to wait for the priest. He was the king, but he needed to wait for the priest to come and offer sacrifice. But he felt the moment was slipping away, so he offered sacrifice, and Samuel appeared to upbraid him, to reprove him. Another time there was victory over the Philistines because of Jonathan's daring, his son, who stepped forward with the armor bearer and said, "There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Let's go to the enemy and see what the Lord will do." And God wrought a victory, a great victory. Saul declared a fast instead of a celebration. And in doing so, he endangered Jonathan's life because Jonathan didn't know that that was the instruction of the king, and he went ahead and partook of some honey that he found out there, wild honey. And that was, again, a mistake by King Saul. Saul was sent to the camp of the Amalekites with the instructions to do away with those godless people who had afflicted the people of the Lord as they journeyed through the wilderness. Saul returned with the report, "I have obeyed the command of God." To which Samuel replied, "What's this? How come there's some sheep here? How come there's some oxen? How come there's some cattle? And who's that?" Saul would say, that's King Agag. I brought him just to show how thorough our conquering was. And, you know, I'm just imagining what was going through his mind now. And we know the scripture says he listened to the people because they thought sparing the best of the flock would be all right. And after all, it's for the service of the Lord. Seems like it would be okay. And this is where Samuel told him rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. In our culture, in our society, sometimes we excuse those things, those little things we think of rebellion and stubbornness, and we try to assign it to DNA or, the Irish or, something like that. No, it's sin. And it needs to be repented of and forsaken. Amen. But in the end, we see Saul pursuing David in jealousy, throwing javelins to end his life. You know who killed Saul? An Amalekite. One that he should have annihilated. He should have gotten rid of. That was the instruction that he had, but it was an Amalekite who ended Saul's life. The very thing that he failed to destroy in his life came back and ended his. When God gives instructions, he's not playing around. When God tells you to end sin in your life, it's not to be excused. It's not to be justified. It's not to be, his mercy is new every morning. Praise God. His compassions fail not. They're wonderful. They're tremendous. But don't take them for granted. Obey the voice of God. Failure is not fatal, but you need to learn from your mistakes. Failure to obtain forgiveness and let life be changed by that forgiveness could end very badly. And we see example after example in the Word of God and in society around us. Make sure you're holding on to the promises of God. Make sure you're walking in His presence. Make sure you have His Spirit within. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world when you have the Lord in your life. Praise God. So David is anointed king. Samuel went to Bethlehem, to Jesse's house. And this is hundreds of years, thousands of years before another king was worshipped in Bethlehem. Praise God. I'm thankful we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm thankful we can lift up His great name. Praise God. Amen. Now, the three eldest sons of Jesse were named Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah. Here they come before Samuel. And Samuel is looking at him. He says, this is the one. The Lord said, no, that's not the one. Four more, seven altogether, passed before Samuel. And when Samuel asked for another son, Jesse said, he's the youngest. He's just out taking care of a few sheep. Not much responsibility. Not much that he has to do and to take care of. See, Jesse didn't think David was king material. He didn't think he counted. He didn't think he should be in the lineup. But God told Samuel to anoint him. This is he. When the Lord says, this is he, this is she, praise God. When the Lord is choosing you, when the Lord is raising you up, when the Lord is bringing you forth, when the Lord is calling you out of darkness into his marvelous light, praise God. All the devils in hell cannot hold you back. Amen. Amen. His brothers witnessed the anointing. They may have thought, hey, it should have been one of us. And here's this young guy. And he's being anointed king. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Praise God. Oh, the power and the blessings of the Lord that make such a difference. Now, David's duties didn't assume a kingly responsibility immediately. Instead, he played music for King Saul. The Spirit of the Lord upon David, but a Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit troubled Saul. He's already troubling himself. He already made a mess of things, and now it just is becoming multiplied. You know, God's blessings can be multiplied, like I assured Brother Cliff, it's going to get better. Just watch, it's going to get better. Well, the opposite is true as far as the things of the devil. It gets worse. It's not just playing around with something, you know, and experimenting with pornography and experimenting with drugs and alcohol and tobacco products and all of that stuff. It's not just experimenting with those things. It gets worse. Well, Saul was sinking. David played music, played on his harp to soothe him, and he became better. David continued to look after the sheep. He was a shepherd. Psalm 23 is evidence of his experience. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he writes on with those verses, a very short chapter, but oh, how beautiful, how classic, how wonderful. Then Jesse summoned him, his youngest son, and told him to go to his brothers who were serving Saul in the army and go and minister to them. So the Bible says that David left the sheep in the hands of a keeper, and he took provisions to his brothers, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. Corn, bread, and cheese. Not cornbread, but corn and bread and cheese. And those three brothers were there with Saul. Now, Goliath had been challenging the armies of Israel. And for 40 days this was going on. Send me a man, and we'll fight. We're champions. We'll fight. And whoever wins the battle, that army will serve the other. Well, that seemed like a pretty good solution, but nobody was willing to step forward to fight this Goliath. If Goliath walked into church today, he would have to be stooped over to come through that doorway and this doorway and step forward beyond that alcove there, and finally get into the cathedral ceiling here and be able to stand upright, because he is 9'9". He's a big boy. Brother Steve would have to look up at him. He had a brass helmet, brass leg guards, and a guard on his shoulders. The NIV says that was a javelin. His coat of mail, you know, that little the little ringlets of metal that they had to kind of protect them from sword strikes and so on, weighed 166 pounds. So for him to walk around with all that stuff, he is pretty strong. He was not only tall, he was strong. His spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear point, was made of iron that weighed 15 pounds. He's a big fella. And so he's making this boast. Send me a man. Give me a champion. And we'll fight. Well, David hears this. And he's getting a little bit mad. He's wondering, who's going to go and fight him? He can't talk like that about our army. He can't talk like that about our God. Now, there may have been a prophecy in 1 Samuel 16:18 when they were looking for someone to play music with a harp and soothe King Saul, because the referral that is mentioned of him, a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, he's cunning and playing. He's a mighty valiant man, a man of war. Thought he's just the youngest keeping the sheep. Prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. That's the most important part. The Lord is with him. All the other stuff could be scratched, but the Lord being with him, that's what made a difference. That's what qualified him. The brothers were angry. They didn't pat him on the back. They didn't say, yeah, man, go for it. We'll be behind you. We'll be cheering for you. And we'll even pray that you win the battle. No, they were mad at him. They mocked when they heard David talking about going into battle, and they inquired, who did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness with? You know, they're kind of belittling his responsibility. They didn't think he was soldier material. They didn't think he could match up. They didn't think he came to do anything but to watch the battle and be a spectator and cheer from the stands, so to speak. No, he's not soldier material. And those of you who have served in the military, you could probably kind of identify with those brothers that, you know, some little upstart coming out and hadn't gone through basic training, hadn't done an MOS, hadn't done any of those things, and he thinks he's going to go and fight with Goliath? Come on. That's how they were thinking. Well, Goliath wanted that champion to fight him, either to conquer or subjugate the army to the other. And then Saul heard of David, because David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. There were several of them who had suntans from, you know, their eyebrows up, because they were hiding. That big giant with his yellow buck teeth sticking out yelling over there, send me a champion. And David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. I'll go and fight with him. And Saul said, he's been a soldier from his youth up, and you're just a young sprout. You're just a youth. King Saul didn't think he was champion material. But remember, the Lord said, this is he. The Lord said it. Now, Jesse didn't think he was king material. His brothers didn't think he's soldier material. Saul didn't think he's champion material. There can be all kinds of strikes against you. But when the Lord says, this is he. When the Lord looks at you and says, this is she, that's who I'm going to use in prayer. That's who I'm going to use in singing praise to my name. That's who I'm going to use in witnessing. That's who I'm going to use to come through the trials, to come through the battles, to come through the hardship. That's who I'm going to use to lift up my name. That's who I'm going to use to magnify me. Hallelujah. This is He. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So David had to do a little reporting. David had to read his resume. David had to let King Saul know there was a lion that came to the sheep. There was a bear that came to the sheep. And I saved the lambs from them. And when that lion came back and arose up against me, I caught him by his beard. And I smote him, killed him. David had to testify and mention those killings three times. Three times he had to mention it to Saul. That lion and bear, I killed him. That lion and bear, I killed him. That lion and bear, I killed him. Praise God. And he viewed Goliath as another victory. He defied the armies of a living God. I'll go fight with him. He can't talk like that. He can't say those things against my God. Praise the Lord. So Saul called for his armor. Now remember, Saul was tall. That's not from Dr. Seuss. That's the word of God. He was a head taller than everybody else. So let's just say he's 6'5". Okay, he's tall. He's a big man. And he weighs 240 pounds. Okay, very possible. We don't know. Those aren't numbers from the Word of God, but it could be, because Saul was tall, that his armor was big, and that's the size he was. But David is not 6'5", he's 5'6". And he doesn't weigh 240 pounds, he weighs 140 pounds. Boy, wouldn't the drill sergeant have fun with him. Put that armor on. I can't put it on. It's too big. And I haven't proved it. I haven't used it. It's not going to work. Take it off. And David is still looking to face that giant. And he picks up his staff and five stones. And here he goes. Sticks and stones. Against that giant? Well, sure enough, Goliath mocked. Goliath said, I'm going to feed you to the birds. Goliath didn't think he was hero material. Oh, man, now look at how David has been belittled. His dad doesn't think he's king material. His brothers don't think he's soldier material. The king doesn't think, King Saul doesn't think he's champion material. And now Goliath is mocking him, doesn't think he's hero material. But what's David thinking? Amen. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Praise God. I come to you in the name of the Lord. The battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hand. Praise God. And I'll feed you to the birds. Praise God. And David ran toward the giant and hit him with that stone, and he fell over. David ran to the giant and pulled his sword out and cut off his head. He's not going to make the mistake of Saul. He's not going to make the mistake of, you know, just knocking down his opponent, his enemy. He's going to end it. Get rid of it. That's what you've got to do to sin. That's what you've got to do to the devil trying to destroy you, trying to pull you down, trying to eliminate what the Lord said, this is He. He didn't make that mistake. He finished off what was opposed to him so it wouldn't come back and finish him. Amen. Now, David's kingdom had many challenges, and Goliath is a victory. The Lord delivered him from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear and from the hand of that giant. Amen. And yet Saul, instead of celebrating, is making assassination attempts on David's life. And David needed a sword. And he went and got the sword of Goliath. Praise God. David said, there's none like it. Let me have that sword. Praise God. You got to remember, the sword of the Spirit has no equal. The sword of the Spirit, there's none like it. And you go forth in the battle. You go forth against spiritual forces. You go forth against the enemy of your soul, the adversary that roars like a lion. You go forth against him and know the word of God has no equal. There's none like it. Amen. You will be victorious. You will be an overcomer. Praise God. Amen. I wish I could report that there was nothing but victory in David's life. We know his failures. And we know his prayer of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence. Keep not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I'm glad he's a God of restoration. Amen. I'm glad he's a God who restores. Praise God. And I'm claiming that restoration. I'm claiming that restoration for many, many, many who were in this house. Amen. In the 27 years we've been here. Praise God. And years before that, I'm claiming that restoration in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because that's the God I serve. That's the God who can say, this is he. Hallelujah. And know that the forces of darkness are not going to hold back those who once walked in the light. Oh, yes. Those who once were covered by the precious blood of the Lamb can once more come and find his compassion fail not. Hallelujah. And realize I am not alone, because God and his power can step forth in a powerful and wonderful way. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And enter into the kingdom of God. A new birth, born of the water and of the Spirit. Everyone can be born of the Spirit. And Jesus said, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Praise God. See, so the devil lies when he says you're not worthy. The devil lies. Amen. The devil wants to steal your joy of being the king's kid. He wants to kill your hope of walking in the liberty and freedom of the Lord. The devil wants to destroy your soul rather than see it saved. That's his work. That's his agenda. Amen. But oh, there's a King of Kings that we serve. Amen. His name is above every name. His spirit is all powerful. His blood knows no defeat. Amen. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's who says, this is he. This is she. Praise God. That's who I've chosen. That's who I've forgiven. That's who I've cleansed. That's what the Lord says when he looks at you. Amen. And his power and his blessing is real. So your capacity to love, your capacity to serve God, your capacity to work for him, it'll increase, it'll grow. Amen. Let me just share a couple of scriptures with you. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That's you. This is he. Amen. God's giving that to you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. That's his promise to you. Amen. Luke 12 and 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. He's going to give you the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So God says, this is he. God says, this is she. Amen. A king? Yeah, you're made a king and a priest when you're washed in his blood, the Bible says. Amen. Hallelujah. You're soldier material. Praise God. Oh, yes. You serve in his army. Praise God. And you please him who hath called you to be a soldier. And you endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And you say, I have fought a good fight. Amen. Hallelujah. You're a champion. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. More than a conqueror. There are all of the things that come against you, and nothing is going to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And you're hero material. You're hero material. You pray. You pray like Moses prayed. Praise God. You hold on to the promises of God. You stand in the gap. Praise God. You're a hero and win victories in the name of the Lord. Praise God. You take heed to his word. And Paul wrote to Timothy, when you do that, you save yourself and you save those that hear you. That's a hero. Praise God. Stand with me now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh my. Hallelujah. I wish I had a mirror to pass out to every one of you. I wish I could give you each a little individual mirror. And I'd have you hold it up in front of your face. And I'd have you repeat, this is he. Or this is she. God chose you. God called you. God forgave you. God covered you with his blood. God calls you by his name. God filled you with his spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And nothing the devil does can change that. No distraction, no circumstance, no problem, no difficulty is going to change that. You keep holding to his hand. Amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Shondobo Jose Kelerimo Panda. Mungelaromo Sondoro Lelime Seke Telorobo Shandamai. Praise God. Praise God. Can you step out from where you are now and respond to the Lord? His designation, his calling, his power, his spirit. And the Lord declaring, this is he. This is the one I called. This is the one I love. This is the one I've chosen. This is she. She's the one that's a prayer warrior. She's the one that's going to hold on in prayer and not let go. She's the one that's going to claim those promises. Amen. 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 Let's love the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Damasatandarakato.